The 1977 Washington trip, this is part two. In Isaiah 55, God spoke to the children of Israel in verses 10 and 11, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." So if we believe that we are God's witnesses and members of the body of Christ and the carriers of God's word to other people, even within our own nation, then we must believe that God's word, like the rain and the snow, is to cover all of the land, all of the earth, and eventually everyone. So let's accept it on that basis, that God's word will do that. It'll not return to God void. It'll accomplish that which he wills. We won't necessarily see the evidence of any change in individuals or people or nations as the word goes. Sometimes we run ahead of God and we want to give someone a witness of the word and then stand there and wait for them to say, "Well, that's right, I'll such and so," and the results all take place before our eyes. Now, that isn't necessarily true. The word is like rain and snow, and it causes the bud to come up. Well, this is a time process. Sometimes the person who does the sowing actually does not even see the harvest or has no part in it. But the harvest will still come when the word is planted. So let's remember that as we do that, wherever we're witnessing, whether it's in congressional offices or to individuals at churches or whatever. Now, one of the things, of course, that makes our witness to these people in the congressional offices easier is that we can read Bible passages and relate them to what is happening in America and the world today. Other people, other ministers, fundamentalists, cannot do that. People who do not know the kingdom identity message cannot read out of the Bible and say, "Well, here's what the Word says, here's what's happened in California or America or over in Europe or Africa," and so on. And this always gets their attention, and I want you to consider that, because most of you people went through somewhat the same process that we did. You knew something was wrong in the United States of America. You were concerned about it. Perhaps you found out a lot about the communists, the left-wingers, and so on, but actually you did not really understand what was happening until someone spoke to you and gave you that information out of the Word of God. They gave you information in a tract, they witnessed to you, or you heard a minister in a church or on a radio or something like that. Many of these people in the offices in Washington, D.C. are exactly like we were a few years ago. They might not know any more than we did, and they see confusion. We had one man who's a new congressman in Washington, D.C., tell us that he was so discouraged about the confusion and ignorance in Washington in the few months he's been there that he's already decided he's not going to run again. Well, the confusion and ignorance there is primarily because they do not know the Word of God. Turn to Isaiah 46. Verses 9 and 10, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." And chapter 48, verses 3 through 5, "I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth. And I showed them, I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Because I knew." Now here is God telling Israel why he declared things that would happen before they happened. "Because I knew that thou art obstinate," or hard, "and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass." In other words, you've got a hard head, right? "I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it to thee, lest thou shouldest say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image and my molten image hath commanded them." In other words, God says, "I told you picture through prophecy so that you could not then say, when this did come to pass, that your idol or your false god caused it to come to pass. Fulfilled prophecy is actually the proof of God and is God's witness in the earth. Now, we of all people upon the earth are the ones who can tell these men in places in the United States government, wherever they are, in local government, even our friends and relatives. God said such and so, here it is in the Bible, it is coming to pass. And these people cannot gainsay it. We are, and this is not bragging and not boasting, but Kingdom Identity Ministers are the only ministers in the nation who can tell anyone what is happening according to the Bible. You know, our fundamentalist preachers, a lot of them, preach on prophecy. And for many years, especially since 1948, they have been trying to tell their flocks and officials and other people that prophecy is coming to pass because the Jews are going back to Palestine, God is fulfilling His prophecies in Israel, therefore this and therefore that, and such and so. Well, in the last year, and especially in the last 6 months, the whole nation is slowly coming to realize the Jews are not going back to Palestine. In fact, one-third of the Jews who leave the Soviet Union return to the Soviet Union within a year. One-third of them come to the United States or Western Europe immediately. The other one-third go to Palestine and stay there, but some of them also leave within 5 years. And just a few weeks ago, one of the television programs, I guess it was 60 Minutes, had a segment on there about the increasing number of Jews in New York City coming over there and taking any kind of a job they can get. And who are they? They are Jews who were born in Palestine. And the economic situation over there is so bad, their taxes are so high, inflation is so tremendous, they are leaving. They are leaving Palestine faster than they are going there. Now, as this thing continues, of course, I believe that many hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions, of Christian people who love the Lord and who love the Bible are going to begin to ask their fundamentalist ministers, what is this? You've been saying such and so was true because the Word of God said such and so, and that's not true. It isn't happening. And I believe this same thing is going to happen in the United States government. Our government has actually been told by people in the government and by ministers that the United States of America foreign policy should be aimed at preserving the Jewish state in Palestine because the Jews are God's chosen people. Now, slowly but surely, that lie is being exposed. And when literally millions of Americans and perhaps thousands in the government come to realize that the people who call themselves Jews are not God's chosen people and that God's Bible prophecies are coming to pass in America and in our Anglo-Saxon people, that puts a different light on every policy of government. It puts a different perspective on everything that they do, whether it is policy inside the United States having to do with race, whether it's economic policy, whether it's military, or whether it's foreign. So you pray for this ministry when we do this. As I say, we spend only 2 weeks in Washington, D.C. out of 52, and only 6 of us have been going. So these Washington offices, these congressional offices, actually get a few minutes of witnessing to God's Bible truth out of the whole year that they're there. But God's Word is powerful, and God's Word shall do that which God wants to do. Now, another thing, of course, the fundamentalists and many of the other ministers, are at a complete loss in talking to men in civil government about the nation's problems because their doctrine, their theory, is that God's law has been put away. That means they are totally devoid of any truth to preach or teach to that man. First of all, they cannot tell the man in government what we are doing wrong and what we should do to do aright. Secondly, they cannot relate America's problems and America's tribulation to God's judgment on us for the violation of His law. Because after all, if His law has been put away, how in the world can we say that such and so is happening to us as a judgment for our violation of God's law. Again, as strange as it may seem, and I have to repeat, I'm not boasting, would to God we had 100 or 1,000 ministers in the King of Israel movement, but there are only a handful of men and a handful of churches in America who can witness to the truth of prophecy and the truth of God's law. You have already seen the 3 drawings that we had, and by the way, we're printing these up and sending them out on our mailing list. The one on the Bible, the one on God's law, and the one on the bank money system. A fundamentalist, of course, would not even be able to take these pictures and use them because they are in opposition to what he teaches. He wouldn't even be able to explain it. Now, we carried another thing with us, each one of the groups had. We did not give copies of this away, but we used this as another demonstration of God's law. This is a newspaper article from the Arizona Republic, last March 13th. The headline, Pests Destroy 50% of the World's Food Crop. And we would read that, at least a portion of it, and then read God's Word in Leviticus 25, verses 1 through 4. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land rest a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the 7th year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard. And then we would read that, and ask these people what it meant. Most of them would look at us rather blankly, and we would say, well, we'll tell you, it's very simple. It is one of God's laws which, if followed, would break the life cycle of the pests, and they would not destroy many of the crops which they destroy in the nation. This article said, and it's quoting a man from the University of California, progress is not being made against the world's pests because the pests are developing a growing immunity to pesticides and because the predators and parasites, the natural enemies of the pests, are also being destroyed by the pesticides. And then he goes on to say that one of the problems with the cotton yields in Central America is that the insecticides have killed off the parasites which used to eat the boll weevil. So now the boll weevil is developing an immunity to the pesticide itself and is eating up the cotton crops down there. God's law, 1 year Sabbath of the land, would destroy the life cycle of the pest. It would not require the use of pesticides which kill the bacteria and the angleworms in the soil. The bacteria and the angleworms would then provide the natural fertilizer for the crops. They would not have to use the commercial petroleum-based fertilizers on the land, and we would have abundant harvest, healthy food, and an unpolluted land from the following of one simple law of God. Most farmers would recognize that this would work, but again, most of them have never heard that God's law calls for a 1 year Sabbath of the land out of every 7. Turn to Isaiah 10. Now, regardless of which laws we talked about to the people in the congressional offices, we had to make it plain to them that they were responsible. It is the church's ministry to teach God's word. It is the civil authority's ministry to enforce God's law. Isaiah 10. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that right grievousness which they have prescribed. In other words, they pass grievous laws to turn aside the needy from judgment and take away the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. And to a great extent, most of the laws passed in America in recent years, in the last 2 generations in fact, have set up a procedure in the land where the bankers and other multinational and multimillion-dollar corporations actually rob the working people and the poor people of the land. And that is done with the approval and the authority of the men in the Congress of the United States. Now, the ministers cannot go out, and we would point this out to them. The ministers cannot go out, go to the bank, and say, Mr. Banker, God's law says you are not to charge interest on loans. We had a little fun with this general theory because almost all of the men in Congress, when they need some expert advice on money or monetary matters, they call in Arthur Burns or some well-known New York banker, and they ask them for their testimony before the House or Senate Banking Committee, and then they listen to these men's advice, and then they go ahead and they pass legislation that fits the advice they got from the expert. And we were surprised in talking to many of them. When we told them this, they actually hadn't thought about it. That those experts, their work, their job, their profession, their whole industry depends on them increasing the debts on the American people, increasing the national debt, increasing the state and city debt. And yet Congress, which has the authority to see that the American people are protected, take the advice of men whose whole livelihood depends on raising the debt of the American people. And as we pointed out to some of them, why, if Arthur Burns were to come down before the United States Senate or House Banking Committee and were to lay out a plan and a program to pay off the national debt, why, the bankers in whose employ he is would fire him the next day. That's not his job. And it is the responsibility of these men in the Congress to implement God's law in the land. And if they will not do it, of course, then Deuteronomy 28 comes into effect. And we read this many times, verses 43 and 44. If you will not obey God's law, the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. That is the reason for the great debt in the United States. It is not simply that we have bankers. God allows the moneylenders to come in and lend us money and put us in debt because we refuse to obey and follow God's law. God's law says no usury on debt. And that is Congress's job to see that. Now, we would go further. This year, we also took, along with us, copies of my book, The Bible Says Russia Will Invade America. And if you will read right on in that same chapter in Deuteronomy, you will find that after God warns Israel that they would suffer this great debt and all of these other curses and judgments for refusal to obey the law, then eventually, if they would not turn and would not implement God's law in the land, then God would raise up an enemy nation and bring that nation against them in judgment. Verse 48, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck, until he have destroyed thee or brought thee low. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the ends of the earth, as swift as the eagle flyeth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And then we would liken that to what is happening in the world today. God is allowing the Soviet Union and China and their communist allies to be raised up and to become powerful to come against us. Why? Because it is written in God's Word that He would bring these alien and heathen peoples against His people Israel. When we were in the offices, I actually read this part in page 45 of my book. A Reverend Pitts, in February of 1857, before the Civil War, spoke to a joint session of both houses of the United States Congress. And on Washington's birthday, he'd been invited, and his sermon was, "The United States of America Foretold in the Holy Scriptures." They were so interested in what he spoke on that they invited him to return the second day, and his title was The Battle of Armageddon, in which he identified the United States of America and Russia as the two protagonists of this last great battle to be fought upon the earth. And I would read this to the person in the congressional office. In 1857, a minister told the Senate and the House of Representatives of the United States, warned them 100 years ago of this. These two colossal powers will meet in a last decisive struggle. These two great powers are the United States of America and the monarchy of Russia, both extending the magnitude of their greatness, so that in the present state of affairs, a perfect coincidence of facts answers a perfect description of prophecy. We look to the future for the finale of these startling wonders to be fulfilled in a conflict that will enlist all nations, stir the world with commotion, and drench the earth with blood. And then I would say to them, now you read this book. This is not Pastor Emery's idea. A minister 100 years ago told the United States Congress that eventually, as time passed and prophecies were fulfilled, that Russia would invade America. Now this is startling to some of these men. These people in the United States Congress are busy, 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 as I mentioned. And many of them are patriotic. And they think that we must work with Russia, we must have detente, we must have trade, because we've got to stop the possibility of any future war. And then along comes these preachers and they say, you're not going to stop the war. God has prophesied the war is to come. Here it is in the Bible. A minister told your predecessors in the Congress this 100 years ago. Now you take the time to read this so you know where you stand in the light of God's Word. And I realize that's quite startling to some of these people. Pastor Record, of course, would have his own literature along, and we would exchange talk as the other men did. Two of us, one talk for a while, try to feel a man out, the other one talk for a while, and so on, because the Bible says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses shall everything be established. So we gave them the double witness from each of us, and of course using the Bible, and so on. I want to mention just a few things about our very first day to give you an idea of some of this. We began the first day in Washington, D.C. by going to Liberty Lobby to talk with some of those people to find out what was the most important current thing that Congress was talking about and considering, so we could know what's on the minds of most of the people we were going to see. And then we split up in pairs and went to our various floors. We assigned floors so we don't cover the same offices. And the first day, as you can imagine, is a little discouraging because we're at the very beginning trying to make appointments. The first office Pastor Record and I were in, we found out after we were in there, was a congressman who had already sponsored a bill to ban handguns. So we were way far afield to begin with. In the next office, the secretary told us to come back that afternoon at 2:30 and see the congressman's assistant, a Mr. Silver. So we didn't go back. In the next office, the congressman had just been taken out of the office by an ambulance and gone to the hospital with heart pains in his chest. And you can imagine, we thought, well, boy, this is going to be some 2 weeks here. They're either left-wingers or their assistants are Jews or they're going to the hospital because they're ill. And then we were in another office where we had a very good visit with a legislative assistant of Congressman Henson Moore of Louisiana, except that she didn't think there was much point in our talking to the congressman because he attended at least two Bible studies every week, and therefore he was learning all of the Bible as it was. And we found this quite often. Some of these people who are Christians and who are active in churches feel that we are imposing on them because, after all, they're going to church, and they're having Bible study. Well, anyway, several more offices later, we made some other appointments to talk to some people, and by then about an hour and something had passed, and we were batting practically zero. And then we walked into Congressman Daniel Akaka's office of Hawaii, and we were going to pass it because he was not of our people, and I said to Bob, we're not doing too well with our Anglo-Saxons, let's go in this Hawaiian office. So we did, and we met his legislative assistant, took us into the congressman's office, and we began to tell him why we were there. And we had just gotten to the part about saying we're in trouble because we're in violation of God's law, and the young man interrupted us to tell us that the congressman's brother, by the name of Abraham Akaka, was a radio minister in Hawaii, and that was one of the themes that he preached over the radio in Hawaii, is that America is in trouble because America will not follow God's word. And then he proceeded to tell us that Daniel had two other brothers by the name of David and John, and they were all Christians, and that he, this young Hawaiian legislative assistant, was a Christian, and in fact, the office staff had been chosen by a congressman because of their Christian witness. And I thought, well, here we are, and we've seen this before, aliens to our race from other countries come to America, and they see the great blessings that America has had. They see this huge, wonderful land. And if they have been exposed to Christian teaching, they recognize and they actually believe that God has blessed this land. Now they see our troubles, our confusion, and the fact we are losing the blessings, and sometimes they see more clearly than our own citizens that we are in trouble because we're somehow or other turning away from God. And we had a very interesting meeting with that young man for about 30 to 45 minutes, and we left him some literature. We talked to him about the identity. He did not become angry. He was a Hawaiian, and he thanked us profusely for coming in. So we felt much better. The day was finally beginning the way we had desired. Although the next office, immediately we went in, and that congressman had been taken ill and had been taken home, had gone home. So we went to several more, and we had what are more or less normal conversations, either with a congressman or with some other person. Very little comment, but they listened to what we said. And then finally, in the middle of the afternoon, we visited with Congressman William Armstrong of Colorado, and he really brightened our day. We had gotten about to the second picture in his office talking to him, and he interrupted Pastor Record, who was doing the talking, and said, "Have either of you men ever preached a sermon on Deuteronomy 8? And, of course, we had our Bibles, but we began immediately to look, well, you know, what's in Deuteronomy 8? And before we could answer, he said, "Well, I did just recently." He said, "I was reading that." And he said, "You know, that chapter is about the United States of America." Well, turn with me over to Deuteronomy 8, and you'll see what this congressman read and said, "This is about America. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers." And then it goes on talking about the land that God had given them. They were to obey the law and he would bless them. Verse 7, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths, that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olives, and honey." And he, in effect, was explaining to us that this was about this great land of America. And, of course, it has this verse of Scripture in it, verse 17 and 18, rather, these two, the warning to Israel that do not say in your heart, "My power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." And here is the key phrase, "that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day." And of course, you can see from that verse of Scripture, that gave us an absolutely beautiful opening to tell him, yes, that is about America, because we are the Israel people. And we were in his office for about 40 minutes. In fact, his secretary was almost having a fit because he had other appointments. Other people were waiting. And he kept them waiting while we talked about the United States of America, the Israel people, the covenants, the fulfillment, and so on. And here was this man, a Christian man, who was in the Congress of the United States, who in reading his Bible realized these things fit the United States of America. Well, needless to say, that brightened our whole day. That was the first day we were there, and with all the disappointments of the morning, we then felt that, well, God has opened some eyes and opened some hearts, and so we felt more like going on for the rest of the 2 weeks. I'm going to ask Ken Anderson to come up and tell you a few things for a few moments and give you some idea of what he and his partner did in Washington.
Thank you, Pastor Emery, and brothers and sisters in Christ, and all of you on the Tate Ministry. I'd like to say that you're missing a great opportunity if you folks don't take the opportunity to do it yourself if you have the time and you can get away and go talk to the congressman. It's a real blessing. Pastor Emery has said that it's more of an open field and the ground is ready to be watered in these areas, more so than maybe on the people on the street. And when he said that 5 years ago, I just really wondered, because I was in this anti-communist movement like you were. and I was told and was under the impression that the people in Washington are our enemies, basically. If they're not, why are they doing what they're doing? Why is all this communist propaganda coming up, and it really makes you scared? You want to move out in the mountains. You don't know what to do. And when we went to Washington, I asked Pastor Emery, I said, well, I'd like to go with you, because really, down deep in my heart, I wondered if he was telling the truth, because he had such good news about these people back there. And when I got there, I found out that this is so. And again, this year, the man that I was with was Wayne Kay, who was the man I was with last year. And these people are very open. They're very, very willing to listen to the scriptures. In many cases, they don't know the scriptures very well, and they don't argue, because they don't know any scriptures to argue with, a lot of these people. Now, Wayne and I are younger, and we talk to usually the aides, and we would talk to them about, why don't you have a home? Well, I can't afford it. Then we go into the money issue on paying back. Do you ever have a problem with crime? And we'd talk to them, and it makes sense about making the people pay back what they've stole. And all these things make sense. We didn't really have to get in and say, well, this is what God said, and you got to repent and all these things. It just makes sense. The Bible makes sense. And these people see this, and they see these little cartoons that we had this year, and they'd look at that. We'd say, now, look, this is the basis of the whole program. This is the basis of the literature that we're leaving with you. And when you... if this makes sense to you or your congressman, if you want to get into it deeper, the material does this. And they would thank us. Very little opposition, very little argument. In fact, when we did have one, when somebody would question something, well, what I've been told by many ministers that come in here, we can't put people to death. And one of these little tracts showed this. So as one of us, either Wayne Kay or myself, would be talking to them, the other person would get the scriptures out, and we'd get a little piece of paper, and we'd write down the scripture verses on death and punishment, God's law, and say, here, these are the scriptures. If you want, we'll go over them right now. And sometimes we would, sometimes we wouldn't. We just leave them the scriptures, five or six scriptures, in reference to his particular question. And it was there. We had a list made out so we could look these things up quickly. And so if you do this, have some notes ready. When you go in in pairs, because if you do it by yourself, I think it'd be real rough. As the scripture says, go in pairs. And when one's talking, the other one can be thinking, and vice versa. And you can be looking up scriptures, the things out of God's law. They have a deep respect for this. And when we just about finished the conversation, we almost always ended with an identity message of some area. Now, it depends on the conversation up to that point, but it was usually with the track, Russia Will Invade America, which gets into the identity. It goes into, if we obey God's laws, because we're those people that are supposed to obey those laws, we won't have a problem. We have a problem. We know Russia's coming against us. And here's a tract that covers that. And it goes into the identity movement. And sometimes we'd cover that. And if you want to do something for your country, you do it on a state level or a national level. But when we go in these offices, we'd see these people, and it would be next year we'd go in again. And sometimes they would remember the literature we left, the state that we're from, and what the material was about. In fact, one aide says, I read your material, and I thought it made a lot of sense, but I had a couple questions. And he'd ask the question this year about the literature we left last year. And these guys aren't dummies up there. They have to be sharp. And I don't think that you could do this in people on the street. We'd talk to them this year and ask them next year if they read it, and they could remember. So it does mean something. And also mail the material to the congressman. A lot of times they'd recognize the material, say, yes, somebody's mailed us this material. And it does some good. They do get a lot of mail. They do get a lot of people calling on them. So it's a real blessing, and I'd like to see I talked to Pastor Ernie about this, put a kit together so we could go and present a kit to different people. You could study it. The scriptures would be laid out, and you could call on the congressmen and the senators or the mayor or whatever in your area. You don't have to go to Washington, D.C. and spend 2 weeks. Spend one day calling on officials. I think it would be a real blessing to you and to the man who's getting information about God's Word, because it will always be good news to him. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Ken. He is probably right that many people who hear us talking about these men, and we seem probably more optimistic, they just can't believe that those people in Washington, D.C. are susceptible to the Word of God at all, because practically everything they're doing is wrong. And As I say, I'm not saying that the few of us who are going there are changing this very much. I think when the change comes, it's going to be rapid. It's going to be quick. It's going to happen over a matter of a few weeks or months. So we feel we are just laying the foundation. But as Brother Anderson pointed out, these people are in darkness about the truth of things primarily because they've been mistaught. Many of them, I would say by far the vast majority of them, are church-going people. They belong to or attend some of the denominations in the Protestant denominations or the Catholic Church, but they simply do not know what the Word of God teaches. They have a respect for it. They respect ministers. They respect Christ, but they simply do not know what the Word says. And their brainwashing, and I think Ken used the right word, their brainwashing has actually come from the church. They have been mistaught by the church. So we are bringing in a little light of truth into darkness that has been laid on them by the church. And so don't be discouraged. God can do great things with that work. Now, we also talked to several congressmen, and I think Ken did talk some like that and some of the other fellows too. Congressmen who told us specifically that they had actually prayed. These were mostly new men. They had actually prayed about what God wanted them to do, and they seemed to have been led into running for political office. We had about a half a dozen men tell us more or less this same story, that they, in their business, they'd gone about as far as they could go. They were concerned about the nation, and something happened. They just felt they should do more. An old man retired. And this is happening more and more every year in the United States Congress and the Senate also. Some of these men who have been there for 16, 18, 24, 30 years in advance, but instead announce it rather suddenly, the field is kind of left open. You saw that happen here in Arizona when Senator Fanon said that he was going to retire. Well, two men who were in the House decided they wanted to be senators, and they ran. They lost out to a man who was fairly new in politics, who now ended up being a senator in the United States Senate. And before all, he'd been in some low state office here in Arizona. So sometimes a man can move into the Congress or the Senate almost as if he were doing this all alone. But we believe this is God moving some of these people into these offices. And several told us that they had prayed and it just seemed like God had opened up a way, and they felt they were there to serve God. Now, they're blind to our identity. They're blind to prophecy. They're blind to all of these things which you and I have learned in the last few years, but they're open to the Word of God. So God is doing something there, and we believe that great things will happen in the next few years. God uses people who are brokenhearted, who are turning to Him. You know that most of you did not learn the kingdom identity message until you actually prayed about it or in effect said something. You wanted to learn the truth. Well, we're finding people in Washington, D.C. who are feeling the same way. They want to know the truth. They have a respect for the Word. And Jesus said in John 6 and verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." So let's not write off all of these people just because it seems like the majority of the men down there are doing wrong. Jesus also said in Matthew 12 and verse 30, "He that is not with me is against me." And that was repeated in Luke 11, 23. "He that is not with me is against me." But he said in Mark 9, 40, "For he that is not against us is on our part," or is on our side. And Luke 9, 50, "He that is not against us is for us." So I think we're going to find that in Israel, in America, there is going to be a great division. There is going to be two sides, the side on Christ's side and the side on Antichrist. And most of these people that we talk to are not in opposition to Christ. They are doing what they are doing. They are falling for the Antichrist propaganda just like our people on the streets do, because they don't know the Word, but they are not Antichrist. So let's pray about this, and you be with us. Turn to Luke 10, and I'll close for this time real quickly. We read verse 16 before. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. These people show very little antagonism to the Word of God. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now I think those two phrases, those two verses are connected. Is it possibly true that Jesus is telling us through those last two verses that when the 70 actually understood that devils were subject to them because of Christ's name, then Jesus said Satan fell as lightning from heaven? I think the time will come when God's Anglo-Saxon Israel people in America begin to realize the devils are subject unto us through his name, and the devils, the people of Satan, will lose their power, and they'll fall from control in America at that time. Now, next week, God willing, I'm going to go on with some suggestions as a general witness, following up to some extent what Brother Anderson said, suggestions and advice from the Word of God as to what you can do at the local level. You don't have to travel 1,500 miles to witness to the congressman. You have mayors and councilmen and men in the state government who live often an hour's drive from your home, and they are not being personally witnessed to for the Kingdom of Israel message, and they should be. And we few ministers can't do all of that. That's up to the lay people. We'll talk about that next week. Let's stand. Our Father and our God, we thank you for thy word and for these great things that thou hast given us, that we may have hope and know that your will shall be done. Father, we thank you that we know these things are in thy hand, and we pray that you raise up workers for the harvest, that you give us all strength and hope and commitment and understanding that your word will bring to pass that which thou hast prophesied, the kingdom to Israel. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.